we're going to have had in a while. From a group called Carbon Recall, we have Joel Robinson. Hi, Joel.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah,
thanks
good
for having me.
Yeah.
So, just love your show. Thank you so much for having me. It's just a privilege to be here.
So tell me about Carbon Recall.
We're a renewable energy installer. We focus on solar panels, battery backup, and all electric appliances. Mm-hmm. So part of our goal is to generate electricity with the solar panels and then use it on site with heat pumps and all types of electric appliances.
So you're telling me that you can do all this with these solar panels?
Yep, that's right.
In a home?
That's right.
Tell me how that happens.
So the most important topic is net metering. This is something that the utility provides, and it allows you to generate electricity and sell it back to them when your house isn't using it. And then when you do need it, you can use that electricity back on a credit.
So
that's a statement type of
billing. So instead of storing it in a battery bank, you just push it back out into the grid?
Yeah. A great one, like this morning, the solar panels will generate more power than the house needs.
Okay.
Right? And so that excess electricity then goes back into the grid. So the meter runs backwards. And people love that. Our customers will be like, look at that. It's going backwards. I've never seen that in my life.
Yeah. Fascinating. We bought one of the panels out at Whitefish Stage Road when Flathead Electric opened it up. And it's powering this building to a large degree.
Yeah, that's right. It is a shared resource in that sense where electricity gets distributed to the grid, and it can be used by whoever needs it at that time.
And of course, you can do a lot of things to conserve energy too. LED lights throughout, like we do here, and energy efficient appliances.
That's right.
All that stuff contributes to your savings.
Yeah, the new technology is so focused on really small amount of usage.
Just don't leave your big screen TV running 24 hours a day, you know.
Well, see, that brings up another point.
Yeah.
Why in the world are we still using 110 volts AC when most everything we hook up to it has to have one of those transformers to drop it down to 20 volts DC?
Right. Our electric grid has a few nuances that we've just learned to deal with, right? Over time, because even in other countries and across the world, things are different, right? Mm-hmm. The hertz that we run at are a different rate.
Yeah. So when you take a solar panel, for example, it comes off that panel. What is it? What's the voltage on that?
Each panel produces its own voltage.
Mm-hmm.
When you connect multiple together, they step up.
Okay.
So you may start with 30 volts, two panels, you're at 60, three, you're at 90. You keep going all the way up until you reach the residential limit of 600 volts.
So you got 600 volts going into a computer that's going to turn that into an AC power.
Correct.
110 volts AC.
Mm-hmm. Because the solar panels generate DC power. Mm-hmm. And the inverter itself has to take that DC power and convert it to a usable energy, like you're thinking, you know, an outlet or anything in our grid.
Now, the interesting thing for me is that it used to be these inverters were about 40% efficient.
Mm.
Now they're getting real close to being 100% efficient.
High 90s, 97, 98, 99% efficient. Mm-hmm. So it converts almost everything that the solar panel produces into usable power.
So how long would, like, say, for example, 600 volts last?
You know that it's bet it's one of the biggest questions we get from people.
I'll bet it is. That's why I ask it.
How do I take this solar panel and even in my mind convert it into something that I use every day?
Yeah.
Right? And that's always how long or how much
and
does
volts
this
times amps equals power. You know, so it gets complicated for us civilians.
Ohm's Law, Robin.
It does a little bit. The great thing we tell our customers, you don't have to know any of this. It just runs on its own. Uh-huh. But everybody, especially with kind of an engineering mindset, they think, I really want to understand it. How does this really work? And the best way for me to describe it is the solar panels produce that power and they go right in your electrical panel. So anything in your house can use the solar first. Right? It's available for use. And if there's extra, then it goes back out to the grid.
And if you don't have quite enough, you can go back on the grid.
Yep. And those inverters are silent, you know, they're quiet, and they just flip back and forth. You'd never know. Sun's out and shining, we're using all solar. Cloud passes by, okay, we're using a little bit of the grid, back to solar. Mm-hmm. And you never know. It's just this dynamic process that...
It's been years, but I visited the Alternative Energy Lab at Carbondale, Colorado. And they always made... their whole deal was wind and solar. They figured if the sun wasn't shining, the wind would be blowing.
Mm-hmm.
And they developed these windmills that are using a carbon fiber material that don't sound like a helicopter when they're going.
Yeah.
And their point was, why can't we have one of those, this kind of a system in every home? You don't even have to be hooked to a grid.
Yeah. You know, solar's really proven to be the big winner because mm-hmm. what we say is sun comes up every day. Yeah. Even in Montana, maybe it's a little cloudy, but that sun comes up every day.
Well, clear that up for us, because a lot of folks think that unless you're getting direct sunlight, you're not getting any solar power.
No, comes right through the clouds. Just like you get a sunburn on a day where it's a little bit cloudy, that sun's still coming through. And the real technology improvements have been that they work better even in cloudy environments. So here in Montana, I even have customers that are hold up their phone to me and say, look at how much power I'm generating today. It's cloudy. It's maybe snowing a little bit. We get some rain, still producing a lot of power. And that's where this sort of... solar is a technology, right? So it's just getting better and mm-hmm. better and better. It's like, you know, if you thought when cell phones were first adopted, you know, they weren't very good, but they got better and better and better and better and better. And that's what we're seeing with solar. It's on that same curve where we're always seeing new improvements, new small changes. And what we've done here is chose those products that work best in Montana. And we're somewhat of a low light environment, especially mm-hmm. in the wintertime. So we specifically choose solar panels that are geared towards solving that.
So let's move into the cost-benefit analysis here. Obviously, you're going to save a lot, but how much do these units cost?
Yeah. So solar pays for itself, right? I'm so proud to say that this product produces electricity, and we all pay for it today. So there is a return on your investment, and we talk about a payback period all the time about this investment that you make X amount of years later, you're going to get all that money back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't always like to talk about this price tag up front because it is expensive. You know, if I'm just honest, these packages do cost money. They're not cheap by any means. Mm-hmm. And it does scale up. Anywhere from a $10,000 system to a $100,000 system, right? And it correlates directly to how much electricity you use today. So if you took your electric bill, and an easy math that we do is say it's $100 a month times 12, $1,200 a year times 10, right? Those numbers give you an idea of your sort of budget or your cost.
Right.
So someone has a $500 a month electric bill, okay, solar is going to cost more for them because we're really matching that electric bill.
Well, there are places in this country where you will pay $500 a month for electricity.
Right. Flathead Electric does such a good job.
Yeah.
I would say they're one of the best utilities, one of the best co-ops in the country. We work with them all the time because our systems connect directly to their grid. And Ashley and Mark at Flat Electric do such a great job. Other utilities in the state, not so much, right? Northwestern Energy is a little bit different type of group. They're a for-profit entity, and their rates are much higher. They've just recently announced multiple rate increases. Whereas Flat Electric, they really haven't raised their rates in years.
Really, they haven't.
They haven't.
Yeah. One of the things that they always say to us, though, is the cheapest power we have is the power we don't use. Because when they have to go outside of BPA in order to get power, then it gets expensive.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they're faced with is the fact that we're growing and we're using more of that cheap power that we have here.
Exactly.
So I would think that they would be interested in seeing people do what you're doing in order to A, return some of that power, but take some of the load off the grid.
That's exactly right. Flat Electric uses largely hydropower from Bonneville Power, but there is a limit there. And there's a maximum amount of power that Flat Electric can use at any one time. And so Flat Electric really likes our product because we help ease those peaks, where if people are producing power, then they don't need to buy as much or transmit as much into the valley.
Okay. So as a private individual, if I were interested in doing this, do you have lease programs? Do you have to buy the hardware and finance it as like a second mortgage? How does that work?
The great policies, the great incentives we see are around financing. There's many different organizations that finance these products. And really easy applications, you know, no money down, doesn't require a down payment, and it'll just translate into a monthly payment.
Are there still solar benefits for adapting to solar or alternative
tax
energy?
Tax benefits, yeah.
The easy one that we talk about is a federal tax credit.
Yeah.
So 30% of our project is a credit on your taxes. So that's an easy one to get back.
Yeah.
Small businesses have a USDA grant that covers 50% of the project. So small businesses have really great incentives right now.
Now, what about the life of the hardware? Does it fade after a while? Do you need to replace?
The systems are designed for a 30-year lifespan. And
sounds like your mortgage.
Yeah, as long or maybe a roof or you know, some of those other things you do to improve your house. Solar panels do slowly degrade, but they all have a typical warranty that they'll produce at least 80% of their original value after 25 years.
Yeah.
So you see just this really small decline over time, and they do degrade a little bit.
So the Earth Day Expo, talk with us about your participation in that.
Yeah, I was invited to speak at the conference in a couple different ways, and we'll have a tabling event there as well. We just really appreciate them educating people around the valley. It's somewhat new to the valley. I still have people ask me, does solar really work in Montana?
Well, a lot of people don't know that.
Exactly.
I was under the impression that it wasn't very effective here because of the cloud cover we get.
Yeah.
But you've just dispelled that.
Think of those long summer days, right? Think of June. Think of the sun's up at 5 and goes down at 10. We're generating power all day long. Now, you can bank those credits and then use them up in wintertime, maybe December 20th, one of those shorter days.
Well, until we come up with a battery system where we can store this stuff for longer periods of time, this is probably the best alternative.
Yeah, net metering.
Sending it back.
It is. Net metering's the best policy that's out there right now. We do install battery backup systems a lot. We've really specialized in those, but it's geared more towards people who experience outages on a regular basis, or maybe they have a critical need. Someone's got some medical equipment, oxygen, or something that needs to run during an outage, and maybe on the perimeter of the valley or out a little bit further, people see some issues there.
Now that a power outage, when you're net metering and sending the excess power out, does that mean you're down too?
Yeah, if it's just solar panels and the power goes out, they turn off by policy. So they're designed to turn off so that the lineman, when he's out there doing some work repairing those lines, he doesn't get zapped with your solar getting exported to the grid.
Is it possible to do a combination of the two so you do have backup power?
Yes. So solar panels plus the battery bank will carry you through any outage.
Yeah. What's the general time that a battery bank will sustain power?
Our small or entry-level systems are 4 to 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Larger battery banks will carry people for days.
Really?
Yeah. You just keep adding them, right? And you want to spend the money, you can keep the lights on for as long as you want. But, you know, as far as cost goes, batteries are more expensive. They're you know, these great big battery banks have a cost associated to them.
What's on the horizon for batteries? We keep hearing about that because we've got electric vehicles coming along, and that seems to be the Achilles heel at this point.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing the chemistries change. So that's one part that, that means a lot to us. We're going to lithium iron phosphate, which gets rid of the nickel, the manganese, the cobalt, the NMCs. So we're seeing that change a lot. We're seeing them getting safer. So our batteries, you know, there's always been a risk of fire, but our batteries don't. You know, they're, we install them inside people's houses. And we're seeing them last longer, and we're seeing them getting cheaper, right? We're on that technology curve where batteries are less expensive, they last longer, they're easier to use. So we see the future as a combination of solar and batteries.
So tomorrow, all day long, you guys are going to go at it at Flathead Valley Community College.
Yep, 9 till 4 o'clock tomorrow at the community college. It's going to be all types of events around climate change, and really it's geared towards our participation in the environment. I think that's the best way to summarize it, is everybody is a part of this environment, and you need to do a little research and take part and be active in it. Know what your effects are on the environment.
And so your part of it will be at what point, what time?
Mine's at 9 o'clock.
Okay, you're going to start it off.
I think I'm right at the beginning there. We're going to talk about how to purchase solar panels. There's a little bit of a process that you go through to select the correct panels. You know, are you interested in batteries or not? And then we go through some design software to place them on the roof. If you don't have space on your roof, we do a ground mount potentially. Mm-hmm. So there's a process we go through, somewhat of a consultation to help people understand. And that's what I'm going to speak to is, you know, how to make sure you get a good deal.
Will you have some things on display?
Yeah. Well, okay. We always bring a few solar panels because everybody likes to see what those are about.
Yeah, I'm always amazed when I go up to Pole Bridge and see the solar that they have up there, because they're off the grid.
They are. And that's a big difference, right? Being totally off grid, not connected to the grid at all, it's a much different type of package, not a different solution than being grid tied. Those are two different really installs.
Well, before we get the batteries that we need to last for eons, I guess what we need to do is to take advantage of being on and off the grid.
That's right. For sure. The net metering is a great way to help pay for the solar panels, because you're getting credit for those dollars, right? It's a way to get that money back. And so grid tide's the most financially rewarding kind of purchase.
Well, tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, and it's the Earth Expo, Earth Day Expo at Flathead Valley Community College. You guys will be taking the Arts and Tech building over. A lot of space in there, so it'll be an opportunity to see and hear it all and ask you questions. This is pretty fascinating stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of different applications for solar. People see them on campers, and you see them on these speed signs. There's so many different places solar can go. People really do need to ask, what is solar going to do for me on my house or my property? What can it do for me? And there's a lot of discussion.
Well, you get a chance to ask Joel. Carbon Recall. Look for the booth tomorrow, right?
All right. Joel, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.